looking at what happened last week, obviously we had the Fed delivered its first rate cut, and it was at 50 basis points, which slightly surprised me. I thought they might go for the 25, but they went for the 50 basis points. And that brings the funds rate, the top of the funds rate range, down from 5.5% to a still pretty high 5%. Also indications that they will continue cutting. When we look at the dot points that came through from the various Fed governors, they've revised those down to some degree. There's an implication there'll be at least another 50 basis points of rate cuts between now and the end of the year. And then looking out into next year, there will be further rate cuts, taking the funds rate down to 3.4% by the end of next year, and then settling down at 2.9% as you get beyond that. Now, much of this is dependent on how the data falls, and Jerome Powell is at pains to point out it's all very data dependent as they look ahead now. And the really interesting part was, the week they delivered this fairly big rate cut, most of the data relating to the economy is actually quite firm. It does look as if they're cutting into an economy which is not heading into recession. And indeed, last week we had the Atlanta Fed's now Q3 GDP indicator. This is the one where they track all the various indicators that are coming through, and they look at where the next GDP report's going to come in. The previous GDP report was at 3% annualized, so the US economy is growing pretty well. Now the Q3 GDP tracker's at 3%. It was revised up from 2.5 to 3. They're actually cutting into an economy which is growing above trend. And when we look at some of the numbers that came out last week, we had, for example, things like the Philadelphia Fed and the Empire State surveys. These are the very early regional ones, giving an indication of what might be happening in those regions, and they reflect into PMIs a bit later on. Well, the Empire State Survey for the month of September went from minus 4.7 on that diffusion index to plus 11.5, so pretty significant lift. The Philadelphia Fed Survey, their index went from minus 7 to plus 1.7. Some of the other leading indicators that came out last week in the housing area, we had August housing starts and building permits in the September National Association of Home Builders Index. Housing starts, they were expected to lift by 1% in August. They lifted by 9.6%. Building permits were expected to lift by 0.3%. They lifted by 4.9%. And the National Association of Home Builders Index lifted 2 points from 39 to 41. We had August retail sales came out, and they were expected to fall after a very big rise the month before. The month before, we had a 1% month-on-month lift in retail sales. Well, that 1% lift was revised upwards to 1.1%, and the fall, which was expected, and the market was looking for down 0.2%, was actually a positive 0.1. So we got consolidation of that big rise that occurred going back to the month of July. And it was the same story, really, for core retail sales, which went up as much as the headline going back to August. They're up 0.4%, but we've got another 0.1% increase on the back of that for the month of September there. Month of August. Moving to the labour market, we had initial jobless claims for the most recent week too. These have been in the low 230s the last few weeks. That's down from 250s going back 6-7 weeks ago. It came down to 219,000, so it's sort of heralding a bit of strength running through the labour market as well. So it's going to be interesting. Yes, the Fed started cutting, but the reasons that it cut this time around, that it was looking more towards the employment part of its mandate rather than getting inflation down, it may have less reason to do that over coming months. So what we saw almost immediately after the Fed, we've got reasons here why the Fed should go more slowly than it was saying it would running through that particular meeting. We'll get some more information this week. Early this week, we get old-style purchasing managers' indices and services sector PMIs. Manufacturing PMI coming out later today is expected them to lift from 47.9 to 48.5, so it's just slightly below the expansion contraction marker. The services sector PMI, though, this particular reading has been very strong. It was at 55.7 last month. Still expect to be around about 55.2 when it comes out tonight. We'll get, obviously, the initial jobless claims again. There's an expectation they will maybe lift back into the 220,000s. We'll wait and see whether that occurs. We'll get a revision to Q2 GDP. Well, probably no revision. That was running at 3% annualised, probably still there at 3% annualised. And right towards the end of the week, we'll get the core personal consumption expenditure deflator. And this one looks as if it's now sort of getting a little bit sticky around the 2.6% year-on-year mark. So inflation not really coming down very much more. We also get personal income, personal spending data for the month of August. And these both look pretty firm. You know, personal income looks as if it's risen another 0.4% month on month after being up 0.3% the month before. And personal spending up 0.3% after being up 0.5% the month before. So you know, still relatively firm data as we look out through at the US. The same cannot be said of China. Going back to the very beginning of last week, you know, we had things like August fixed asset investment spending in China weaker than expected. It came up 3.4% after being up 3.6% year-on-year the month before. Industrial production weaker than expected and up only 4.5% year-on-year now after being up 5.1% the month before. Retail sales, same story, weaker than expected, up 2.1% year-on-year after being up 2.7% year-on-year the month before. August house prices, well, yeah, everybody believes that you know, they're actually falling faster or at a greater pace than the authorities are admitting. But even what the authorities are admitting to, that went to minus 5.3% year-on-year from minus 4.9%. Going back the month before. And the unemployment rate ticked up again to 5.3% from 5.2%. We had the People's Bank of China meeting later in the week. They did nothing, left their interest rates at 3.85%. And so, yeah, basically China's economy is still underperforming and because of the problems running still through the property sector. And the impacts of that running back to middle-class wealth in China, we don't expect to see very much improvement running through China for the foreseeable future unless we get a major policy change, and that just doesn't seem likely at this point. This week, various holidays in China, we have nothing of note coming out. Then we come to Australia, and we had the labour force data, and we've still got this extraordinary strength still running through the labour market. You know, notwithstanding the fact that the economy is sort of limping along, we've got very strong employment growth, and such strong employment growth that already the Reserve Bank's forecasts for employment growth and the unemployment rate for the end of this year will need revision. They'll need revision stronger when they get through to November. And you know, this is starting to worry them. Because you know, obviously, if you've got employment running much stronger than expected, the unemployment rate's not creeping up the way they expected, this is going to be a headwind against getting inflation down over the longer term. Yes, yeah, every now and then you'll get a good month where things will come down because of lower petrol prices and the beginnings of some pressure coming out of the housing indicators. But the underlying rate of inflation still looks very, very sticky in all of this. And we've got employment growth, which over the last 3 months has averaged over 47,000. For the most recent month, it was up 47,500. And in the last 3 months, we're up 143,000 for employment. This is adding to potential growth in household disposable income, which is already getting a boost from the tax cuts and, of course, interest rates no longer rising. So, the risk is that you start to get a flicker of life coming back into the private sector economy. What's driving these employment numbers is the public sector economy. There are so many areas where the public sector is desperately trying to employ more people. Not least is in healthcare, aged care, running into the NDIS, running into all their various construction projects. So what softness there is running through the private sector employment part is way more than being offset by this continuing run of underfilled positions in the public sector. And so this is what's keeping employment running way stronger than you normally expect when the economy is starting to soften off. And that is problematic because it means that the economy may not continue to soften off because the income that comes with this will start to feed through into more spending as we go a little bit further forward. So that brings us to the RBA decision this week. And they're not going to be moving. They're going to leave the cash rate at 4.35%. They will still be indicating when we get to the press conference afterwards that their opportunity to cut rates is still a long way in the future. It's going to be into next year rather than over the remaining meetings of this year. And that's notwithstanding the fact that after the RBA meeting on Tuesday, we get the August CPI comes out on Wednesday. There's a chance this one will come, at least the headline will come down a fair way, and that's largely lower petrol prices and the beginnings of some of that softness running through the housing sector. So the August CPI, the consensus is, will come down to 3.1% year-on-year from 3.5% year-on-year. Some people have a slightly lower forecast even than that. But it's temporary, and it's going to flip off that. And when we see the trim mean will probably be about a percentage point higher than that. So you've got underlying inflation still running in the very high threes, whereas the headline CPI briefly has this dip before it starts to consolidate and go up again. That figure coming out on Wednesday after the RBA. And right at the end of the week, we've got the Reserve Bank's financial stability review. And this is interesting in the sense that we'll be looking at where the points are, if there are any signs of undue problems running through the financial sector. And the chances are it will find that, you've got some deterioration in loan quality, but not much relative to what you'd normally expect at this stage of the cycle. So still a relatively healthy report coming out there when it comes out on Friday. Moving to Europe, and we had another central bank there, had its meeting, Bank of England, and they didn't move rates. So they left their base rate at 5%, same as it was the previous meeting. There is an expectation, though, that they will start to drop that rate when they get through to November. Looking for a rate cut coming through from the Bank of England before long. They're not doing it just yet. Looking at the European Union, we had Q2 wages, which are now starting to fade a bit, which is good. That's going to give the ECB a bit more comfort and leeway, but they're still pretty high. So Q2 wages came back to 4.5% from 5.2% going back to Q1. We had the ZEW, Economic Sentiment Survey, not quite as strong as it has been of late. It came back to plus 9.3 from plus 17.9. And we had September consumer confidence, which came in at minus 12.9 from minus 13.4 the previous month. So basically Europe, there's some growth there, not much. The wage pressure point may be coming back a little bit. Inflation's better in Europe than it is in most other places because the economy has been weaker. But of course, the ECB has already done a couple of interest rate cuts, and it's going to be a slow and halting affair as they go ahead from here. This week in Europe, we've got purchasing manager reports coming out, and Europe, the manufacturing PMI there is pretty close to recession territory. It was at 45.8. We think it will settle at 45.6 for September. And the services sector PMI, well, that one's strong. It was at 52.9, maybe back at 52.4. So you've still got that strong services sector component running through Europe. But looking ahead, we're into this easing of interest rates at a time when many of these economies, they're not in recession. They're in the case of the US, it's quite a long way above recession. We're cutting rates into that. Obviously, it's going to get markets fairly excited from time to time. If you're to draw a line quite a way down the track, it's not good if you're going to keep inflation in check. And so, at some point, looking out into the more distant future, you can see a resurgence in inflation out of this, and you can see a renewed tightening of interest rates, not next year, perhaps the year after. It'll be taking up interest rates to a higher level than where we saw them in this last cycle. So it's going to be sort of an interesting environment that we're looking at over the course of this next year or so.